Deanne, we don't have time for that. There's
Time for
homework to
what?
be done. So just stop it. Okay? We got things to do. We need to get done with this. Okay? So just stop. Stop stalling. You're taking up all of the time, Deanne.
Hey,
Deanne.
we got this.
Deanne.
We have it.
Calm down. Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's Chip and Eric and friends reading through the Bible, and one of our friends is named Deanne. And we're reading in a colleague's office because she's not here right now. And that's what we do.
Right.
Yeah, it's fine. Well, glad everyone's joined us today. And we are reading, I don't remember what day I said it was. 112? Is it day 112? Hey, you know what? It's probably day 112. And if it's not, okay. Make sure you send Allison a message and tell her that we got the days wrong on the air. Yep.
We should have discussed that.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Every mistake we make, Allison wants to hear about it.
I'm sure she does.
Yeah. So make sure you tell Allison every time you hear something that's a mistake. Today we are going to read 2 Samuel 4 through 6 and Mark something, Mark 11, 20 through 33. That's what we're going to read.
Sounds good.
Sounds real good. Lots of death in this one. So
Great.
much death. It's great. When Ishbosheth, Saul's son, sorry, this is Chamuel. It's the traditional Hebrew pronunciation. Not everyone knows that, Deanne.
Oh,
It's
I'm glad
Chamuel.
you taught us
It's
that.
Chamuel.
Yes.
2 Samuel, I'll say it in English for all of you. The murder of Ishbosheth. 2 Samuel chapter 4. When Ishbosheth, Saul's son, heard about Abner's death at Hebron, he lost all courage and all Israel became paralyzed with fear. Now there were two brothers, Baanah and Rechab, who were captains of Ishbosheth's raiding parties. They were the sons of Rimmon, a member of the tribe of Benjamin who lived in Beeroth. The town of Beeroth is now part of Benjamin's territory because the original people of Beeroth fled to Gitaim, where they still live as foreigners. Saul's son Jonathan had a son named Mephibosheth who was crippled as a child. He was 5 years old when the report came from Jezreel that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. When the child's nurse heard the news, she picked him up and fled, but as she hurried away, she dropped him, and he became crippled. One day, Rechab and Baanah, the sons of Rimmon from Beeroth, went to Ishbosheth's house around noon as he was taking his midday rest. The doorkeeper, who had been sifting wheat, became drowsy and fell asleep, so Rechab and Baanah slipped past her. They went into the house and found Ishbosheth sleeping on his bed. They struck and killed him and cut off his head. Then, taking his head with them, they fled across the Jordan Valley through the night. When they arrived at Hebron, they presented Ishbosheth's head to David. "Look," they exclaimed to the king, "here is the head of Ishbosheth, the son of your enemy Saul, who tried to kill you. Today the Lord has given my lord, the king, revenge on Saul and his entire family." But David said to Rechab and Baanah, "The Lord, who saves me from all my enemies, is my witness. Someone once told me Saul is dead, thinking he was bringing me good news, but I seized him and killed him at Ziklag. That's the reward I gave him for his news. How much more should I reward evil men who have killed an innocent man in his own house and on his own bed? Shouldn't I hold you responsible for his blood and rid the earth of you?" So David ordered his young men to kill them, and they did. They cut off their hands and feet and hung their bodies beside the pool in Hebron. They took Ishbosheth's head and buried it in Abner's tomb in Hebron.
2 Samuel 5. David becomes king of all Israel. Then all the tribes of Israel went to David at Hebron and told him, "We are your own flesh and blood. In the past, when Saul was our king, you were the one who really led the forces of Israel. And the Lord told you, 'You will be the shepherd of my people Israel. You will be Israel's leader.' So there at Hebron, King David made a covenant before the Lord with all the elders of Israel, and they anointed him king of Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in all. He had reigned over Judah from Hebron for 7 years and 6 months, and from Jerusalem he reigned over all Israel and Judah for 33 years."
David captures Jerusalem. David then led his men to Jerusalem to fight against the Jebusites, the original inhabitants of the land who were living there. The Jebusites taunted David, saying, "You'll never get in here. Even the blind and lame could keep you out," for the Jebusites thought they were safe. But David captured the fortress of Zion, which is now called the City of David. On the day of the attack, David said to his troops, "I hate those lame and blind Jebusites. Whoever attacks them should strike by going into the city through the water tunnel." That is the origin of the saying, "The blind and the lame may not enter the house." So David made the fortress his home and called it the City of David. He extended the city, starting at the supporting terraces and working inward, and David became more and more powerful because the Lord God of heaven's armies was with him. Then King Hiram of Tyre sent messengers to David along with cedar timber and carpenters and stonemasons, and they built David a palace. And David realized that the Lord had confirmed him as king over Israel and had blessed his kingdom for the sake of his people Israel. After moving from Hebron to Jerusalem, David married more concubines and wives, and they had more sons and daughters. These are the names of David's sons who were born in Jerusalem: Shammua, Shobab, Nathan, Solomon, Ibhar, Elishua, Nepheg, Japhia, Elishama, Eliada, and Eliphelet.
David conquers the Philistines. When the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king of Israel, they mobilized all their forces to capture him. But David was told they were coming, so he went into the stronghold. The Philistines arrived and spread out across the valley of Rephaim. So David asked the Lord, "Should I go out to fight the Philistines? Will you hand them over to me?" The Lord replied to David, "Yes, go ahead. I will certainly hand them over to you." So David went to Baal Perazim and defeated the Philistines there. "The Lord did it," David exclaimed. "He burst through my enemies like a raging flood." So he named that place Baal Perazim, which means "the Lord who bursts through." The Philistines had abandoned their idols there, so David and his men confiscated them. But after a while, the Philistines returned and again spread out across the valley of Rephaim. And again, David asked the Lord what to do. "Do not attack them straight on," the Lord replied. "Instead, circle around behind and attack them near the poplar trees. When you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the poplar trees, be on the alert. That will be the signal that the Lord is moving ahead of you to strike down the Philistine army." So David did what the Lord commanded, and he struck down the Philistines all the way from Gibeon to Gezer.
Moving the ark to Jerusalem, 2 Samuel chapter 6. Then David again gathered all the elite troops in Israel, 30,000 in all. He led them to Bala of Judah to bring back the ark of God, which bears the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, who is enthroned between the cherubim. They placed the ark of God on a new cart and brought it from Abinadab's house, which was on a hill. Uzzah and Ahio, Abinadab's sons, were guiding the cart that carried the ark of God. Ahio walked in front of the ark. David and all the people of Israel were celebrating before the Lord, singing songs and playing all kinds of musical instruments, lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. But when they arrived at the threshing floor of Nacon, the oxen stumbled, and Uzzah reached out his hand and steadied the ark of God. Then the Lord's anger was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him dead because of this. So Uzzah died right there beside the ark of God. David was angry because the Lord's anger had burst out against Uzzah. He named that place Perez Uzzah, which means to burst out against Uzzah, as it is still called to this day. David was now afraid of the Lord, and he asked, "How can I ever bring the ark of the Lord back into my care?" So David decided not to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David. Instead, he took it to the house of Obed-Edom of Gath. The ark of the Lord remained there in Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and his entire household. Then King David was told, "The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the ark of God." So David went there and brought the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the ark of God had gone 6 steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, wearing a priestly garment. So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of ram's horns.
Michal's contempt for David. But as the ark of the Lord entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the special tent David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifices, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Then he gave to every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins. Then all the people returned to their homes. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him. She said in disgust, "How distinguished the king of Israel looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." David retorted to Michal, "I was dancing before the Lord, who chose me above your father and all his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel, the people of the Lord, so I celebrate before the Lord. Yes, and I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even to be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned will indeed think I am distinguished. So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life.
Yikes. Okay. Mark chapter 11, verses 20 through 33. The next morning, as they passed by the fig tree he had cursed, the disciples noticed it had withered up from the roots. Peter remembered what Jesus had said to the tree on the previous day and exclaimed, "Look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed has withered and died." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, 'May you be lifted up and thrown into the sea,' and it'll happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. If you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too."
The authority of Jesus challenged. Again, they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priests, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" "I'll tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question," Jesus replied. "Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me." They talked it over among themselves. "If we say it was from heaven, he will ask why we didn't believe John. But do we dare say it was merely human?" For they were afraid of what the people would do, because everyone believed that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, "Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things."
Well, and that is our reading today.
And that is our reading today.
Oh, you're doing it like Hannah.
Oh, sorry. Mm-hmm. Should we try it again?
No. I've learned my lesson from Hannah.
No, I would do it right.
Okay, ready?
Uh-huh.
And that is our reading today. Okay, all right. I thought you were messing with me.
Mm-mm.
Okay. I know you would never do
that. I would never do that.
You would never do that. Okay, Deanne, you may know this. I don't know if you've ever listened to the show before, but you may know this, that we read that with two questions in mind. We were asking these questions. How does this help me love God more? How does this help me love others more? So, Deanne.
Yes.
How does this help you love?
I think I'm going to say others more.
Okay.
Mark 11, 25 really stuck out to me. When he's talking about praying and really truly mm-hmm. believing that what you're praying is going to be received for you. Because I think a lot of times we do pray with kind of this hope, but we don't truly believe that maybe it will mm-hmm. happen. And,
yeah.
and that's a problem for us. And so, just that reminder that we need to truly believe and know that God can do anything. But with that, then in verse 25, it says, when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against. And mm-hmm. I think that's just something as humans, we do need to love others and we need mm-hmm. to know that God loves others. And so even if we have a grudge against someone, we need to make sure we put that aside and know that we may not have appreciated something. We may not have believed that or whatever, but that God forgives them. God is willing to forgive them. So we need to be willing to forgive them mm-hmm. and still love them, even though they may not be in our circle or whatever like that.
Yeah.
And then with loving others that way, I think it releases us so that we can pray and fully believe that we are in the right place to trust that God will answer our prayers and that God has our best interest in mind.
Totally true. Yeah, I think just with that, you know, it shows that the unforgiveness that we have toward others just drives a wedge, not just between us and that person, but between us and God.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
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 And totally that's a hard true. Thing to overcome.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if it was easy, then Jesus wouldn't have to remind his disciples to do that, you know.
And we wouldn't have to ask for forgiveness.
That's very true. That's very true. Okay. So, how does this help me love God more? Well, one, I just want to point out this doesn't help me love God more necessarily, but yet again, we have a guy just walking around carrying a head.
Yes.
Like,
there have been so many heads.
Yeah, we just take a lot of heads around. Like
decapitation.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Not my cup of tea, but I get it. You know, some people just love cutting off people's heads and walking around with them.
Wrong.
Well, I mean, some people.
Right. Yes.
I mean, it's big for them. Okay. How does this help me love God more? I am very confused often by this story of Uzzah reaching out for the ark. And it's like, you know, I just think, so they're walking with the ark, they're celebrating the ark. Uzzah touches the ark when he's not supposed to. He's not supposed to touch the ark. He probably, remember that to get to the ark, you had to like fully shave your body and wash and like do like to get to that point, you had to be there. And so he touches the ark in an unworthy manner. David goes, "What am I doing? I'm not going to take this thing back." And he's confused by it. He doesn't understand. Then Obed-Edom is blessed by it, so David goes and takes it. Right? They just basically were just showing that they didn't have the first understanding of what God desired. Right? Like, no, don't touch it. If it's falling, let it fall. Don't touch it. Well, I mean, that's the object over the Lord, right? Like, he wants us to be clean and, so we don't want to let the big gold chest fall to the ground. But, like, which probably, like, let's be honest, David probably would have killed him. Like, you dare. I'm taking your head away. But, I just think they had no concept of what was going on here. They had the presence of God who rested between the cherubim, which were on top of the ark, the place of atonement. God's presence is there. It rests there. That's why Obed-Edom was blessed by it. That's why Uzzah died trying to catch it in an unworthy manner. And they just had no concept of it. And God wasn't pleased with them. And I just think that there's something there for us that Jesus says to us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And I think that this intellectual understanding, loving God with our minds, is so often overlooked. And I think it's important. And I think that this story kind of tells that, okay, we may not understand it totally, but God's been very clear about a few things. You can't just walk up and touch the Ark of the Covenant. You'll die, right? Wherever his presence is, he's going to bless. So if you leave it with Obed-Edom, it's going to be blessed, And I just think, and it'll be a little while, in the next chapter, which we'll read tomorrow, it'll be David looks outside and realizes the Ark of the Covenant's living in a tent and I'm living in a palace, right? And so he uses his mind to say, okay, that deserves a temple, not just a tent, right? So he has this realization. So it's an intellectual love of God. This encourages to me an intellectual love of God, an emotional love of God for sure. Because when the ark comes in, what are they doing? They're playing music and dancing. And, there's this emotional love of God
Celebration.
too, but there's an intellectual, a desire for God. He wants us to know how he wants to be loved and worshiped. And so I think we have to use our brains to get there. So that's how it can help us love God more.
Right.
All right. Deanne,
Yes.
give the people some wisdom.
Wisdom.
No, that doesn't count. You have to say something wise. You can't just say wisdom.
Come into reading with Chip and Eric ready to
Laugh, cry.
laugh, cry, be on your toes for anything because you never know
That
what
is
might
wisdom.
happen.
That is wisdom, especially with Allison. Oh my gosh. Like she's out of control.
I was kind of thinking with Eric.
No, I don't know if you know this. You said Eric when you meant to say Allison.
No, I meant Eric.
Yeah, Allison's nuts. It's true. That's a good point, Deanne, that
Eric,
Allison's
Eric,
really
Eric,
out of control.
Eric.
Needs to get it together. I get it. Yeah.
All right.
All right. We're out of here. Goodbye.
Thank you all.
Don't worry. It was only 18 minutes and 46 seconds.